Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time.
Banter, banter, banter. And we are entering the banter segment.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Seize the GM. And we're just going to cut right into the fun part of our lovely, lovely banter. So, but before we get into that, amazingly, we have our first iTunes review. And it is by Jeffrey W. Ingram. And it is a 5-star review that says, "My friend on Facebook put me onto this podcast. I love it. Great chemistry and fun between Zendad, Jules, and Null Operations. As a world builder, game master, and podcast lover, I would highly recommend this show to anyone who loves games or any of those other topics. Just check this out."
Hold on. That's a pretty nice phrase.
That's very impressive. I'm lacking.
Yeah,
have they listened to us before?
He said he downloaded every episode, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now, that included. Now I'm impressed.
I think that even included like the 12 days of Christmas podcasting and the dog days stuff. So he got all
You're
of it.
You're kidding.
I think he did all of it. So, yeah. Well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. You did read, you know, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. So that was awesome.
It was, and it was on Christmas Eve. The only time you're supposed to read that story.
Right.
But, so what have you guys...
Christmas. Is that the theme you're going for?
Yeah.
It makes a certain amount of sense.
It's a weird... My daughter's only 5, so I kind of made this a family tradition since she was about 3 of every night, mm-hmm. every Christmas Eve, I read it to her.
That's so nice.
Aww.
So,
yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for my little girl, so.
Don't worry, we won't tell anyone else you're nice, you know, to the rest of the world. We'll keep it secret.
It's on the internet.
Nobody it's all reads over the internet.
I know, nobody reads the internet.
Well, no, we read it, we don't believe it.
Well, there's that, too.
So,
yeah, so, it's been, so what have you guys been up to this week?
Nothing? I've been taking the week off, yes, After finishing the book draft, this week has been nothing. The brain gets to rest.
Awesome. Did you game at all?
Well done.
Okay, I did game.
I mean,
of course.
couldn't not game.
Right.
Wow. So, Jules, what have you been up to this week?
Let's see. Aside from brainstorming every freaking question under the sun. We had a D&D game this past Sunday, and oh my god, I felt so bad for the rest of the party.
Uh-oh.
We're like 18th level, and we're going against, Tallis. So, we're going against the Quan, all right, when we're all around 18th level. No, I'm 19th level. And, well... First thing that happens, we find the big bad boss. You know, we get through, we wax the golems, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I fail a check and I get transported. I get teleported out. And then in the next round, the big baddie casts disjunction on the rest of the party. 200,000 $200,000 worth of equipment was lost by 2 characters.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Zippy, who my husband, who plays the elf druid war mage, God knows what the heck else he specialized in. Because his intelligence is so off the charts, like auto-saved on all of his items, I make the intelligence check and teleport in the very next round. And, okay, good luck. Thank goodness. Awesome. Because all my equipment, all my magic was still worked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there's like this, you know, it's hilarious. Like, what happens? I rage, I charge, and I have the nastiest combination. I have Shock Trooper, which allows me to sack my base attack bonus, but instead of losing it from my attack roll, I lose it from my armor class.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
And I get to add it to my damage. What happens when you crit, when you confirm a critical on a great axe?
Times 3.
Uh-huh. With Shock Trooper, it's times 6.
Yeah.
That is god awful.
What I sack is times 4. That's just for the attack. Then you crit.
Oh, man.
Because I have some nasty stackables. And I had one item, which is, I think it was Belt of Battle. I spend 3 charges as a swift action, and I get another full round at the standard attack bonus that I was already using. I'm like, oh, hell no, this guy's dying.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and it would.
Yep.
That's crazy.
That was 500 points of damage.
Oh, my God.
Don't piss off the barbarian. It was just one of those, you can't, it's like, I critted. You can't time that.
No. Wow, that is insane. Yeah, see, whereas my group is 3 rooms from hitting the halfway point in the Shattered Star adventure path. They're 3 rooms away from the end of the 3rd book. So, that's what I've been up to this week.
Cool.
Yeah, it's taken forever. 'Cause I had one group that I started the adventure with, and then about 4 sessions in, I added people, and then at the end of the 1st book, I lost almost the entire party and started rebuilding for the last 2 books. I live in the black hole of gaming.
As in you lost the party under the lounge or something, or you sort of, you know, in the glove box and didn't realize they were there, or
where the other socks go, you know.
It's horrible. Around here, there's no one really, unless you do organized games, that's all the people play around here.
Oh, you lost the players. That's even more tragic.
Yeah, that's the problem. I'm losing players because that's all that they want to do is organized play. And it's like, I tweak rules and I'll ad-lib stuff because the story should be more important than the rules. And I finally have 2 people that like that idea. So, there's a new voice. I don't know if anybody's noticed or not with us tonight.
What are you talking about? There's always been 4 of us. What are you talking about?
I've just been very, very silent and quiet and embarrassed. All the other podcasts.
For all of them.
Sitting nervously.
And it is Ben Looms, the creator of Sirenscape, and he's kicking in on this show. So what have you been up to this week, Ben?
I have been building the amazing sounds for the 2nd chapter of the Strange Aeons Adventure Path for Pathfinder, which is a sort of Cthulhu-esque horror adventure path, and it's amazing and really, really fantastic stuff. We've done some really, really radically different sound design. We'll talk about what Sirenscape is obviously there, but that's what I've been doing, working on those, taking some really fantastic voice acting from some of our fans who have actually been contributing to different characters and things, which is super fun to see what they're delivering. And I've been playing Jason Bullman's 3.5, what's it called? The Rosemore. Oh, I kind of think of the name of it. Anyway, this fantastic module from the olden days with my kids and a couple of their friends. And that's been super, super fun. So, yeah, gaming awesome. And sound.
Wait, 3.5 is olden days?
Unfortunately, yes.
Technically, it is.
What's it called? Nathan should remember. There's two editions. The name of the thing.
But there's two editions now since 3.5. So yeah, that would be old now.
I know. I still play 3.5. I
nothing wrong with that.
Fourth ed, I'm like, oh heck no. And fifth ed, no. I'll confuse way too much.
Yeah.
Bloodsworn Veil. That's it. Bloodsworn Veil. Yeah. I mean, see, we're playing Pathfinder, so it's essentially 3.5 with a whole lot of really an amazing world added on and a more balanced game and some really fantastic rules changes. So yeah, that's pretty much still my game.
Yeah.
Now, as everyone else calls it, D&D 3.75.
Yeah, exactly. That's fair enough, totally.
Yeah. Yep. Well, yeah, we play all
Bloodsworn
Veil.
Bloodsworn Veil by Jason Bullman. So I was over there in Paizo with those guys recently and thanking him so much for writing such a cool module, which is really, really cool. And it's lots of fun. Awesome. Great NPCs, great environments, really, really descriptive. Interesting encounters with lots of environmental sort of elements and things. Managed to dump my daughter down a pit just when she thought she was going to be awesome. She runs forward to stab the bad guy. And I was actually speaking to Jason about it. He said, you know, where would the bad guy put his pit? If not right in front of his throne, so that when people ran to try and stab him, they'd fall. And that worked very effectively against her halfling paladin. So
pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But her brother, who's a wizard and invisible and has the ability to levitate and things, snuck down the hole, picked her up by the legs, and you know, as far as everyone else was concerned, the paladin levitated up out of the hole, took a step off the edge, and then stabbed the bad guy in the chest with her sword. And so that kind of gave her that extremely epic and cool-looking moment. So she was very pleased in the end.
Cool. Wow. Well, that's actually showing really good teamwork and use of, yeah. You know, that's awesome. And it's, I'll be honest, it's also kind of fun. It's like, oh, really? Failed your reflex save, die in the pit.
That's
you'll
right.
Do the laundry. Make sure you do your laundry.
I thought I'd done them as well because she went down the pit and in the same round, the wizard went down. Her brother went down. So there was the way out of the pit gone. And I was kind of like, oh, I've killed my children. There was this, in a blinding flash of brilliance, she realized she could channel energy and he was just close enough. So he went down, she was down the bottom of the pit, she channeled energy, which, you know, lifted him back into positive hit points. He could rescue her, she could stab the bad guy. It was really fantastic.
Awesome.
Applaud to your kids. Well done. Good use of mechanics. Yeah. Way to make the story epic on you, Dad. Well done. Well done.
Phew.
That's a war story right there.
Yeah, that's right. They're not going to forget that one for a long time.
Mm-mm.
That is crazy. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well.
Can you run a game for us, please? You sound awesome. Sorry. I've had a lot of bad DMs, so I'm hearing like that. It's like, he created an epic story. I want to play.
Yeah. I've had the best and worst GMs, especially at cons. You know, cons is kind of that sort of roll of a dice. You might get someone who's really amazing and creative and fun, and then, yeah, as you were complaining before, you might get someone who's just interested in going through the mechanics, which I don't really understand very well. You know, bending the rules and cheating and making the story the boss is really, really excellent and what I'm most interested in. Oh, my God, I just realized Nathan is listening, and I'm running the same game with Nathan, so now he knows there's a pit in front of the bad guy. He's in chat.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what did I do? Okay, no, Nathan's not going to know. His memory is going to be erased. I have to move the pit or something now.
Right. That's how you do.
Someone get the neuralizer, quick.
He won't listen to this episode until it comes out in 2 weeks, you know? He's not
He's
listening.
Live.
It's
He's
fine.
Live.
Nah.
It's
He's
3 It's 3 weeks. I did the math on it.
That's very cool. Okay. Excellent.
So, yeah. So that's good. It'll be weeks before he hears this again.
That's true.
Good. So, that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
I have to bamboozle you with everything else. Yeah. That's true. My chances are good.
All right. So you said that you are the creator of Sirenscape. So what exactly is Sirenscape?
Yes. Just in case people don't know, which is always possible. There are some people who haven't heard of Sirenscape yet, and I shall forgive them for that and disabuse them of their lack of knowledge.
Right.
All right. Sirenscape is an app that we built. It brings beautiful and immersive and dynamic sound effects and music to tabletop games. It has an interface that was specifically built for my gaming table to make me be able to actually keep my attention on the players rather than fiddling around with playlists and all sorts of stuff. We can talk about why I ended up making it, but that's the main aim of the interface. And it really helps, especially distractible players like Nathan, who's listening, keep the attention of the players on the game. It sort of it uses all these magical algorithms, distributing all these individual samples around in time and space, and even does stuff like apply the reverb dynamically so that all the sounds that are being played sound well integrated and like the natural sort of environment. It's sort of like those 15-minute looped MP3 recordings, which you can get from a few websites for free, except that those are obviously 100% repetitive. Every time you put on the forest, it'll always be the same. And you can, of course, never tweak those. You can't turn the crows off because there are no crows in the forest. You can't turn the rain on because it starts raining.
Guys, so we've been traveling through this forest so many times. I keep hearing that one bird again every 15 minutes.
Absolutely. Totally. And and the fact there's a really good story about that, which I can tell you if you're interested later. In Sirenscape, instead, every element of the sound design is completely separate and controllable. So, and it's randomized and positioned and never actually can repeat itself because of maths and the length of the universe and all those sorts of things. As a game master, though, you don't actually have to worry about all that. You can actually just hit Epic Dragon Battle, the button, and Sirenscape starts up. Someone screams, the alarm bells go in town, a dragon breathes fire, and all hell breaks loose, and big dramatic movie-style music starts. But if you want to, you can tweak things. So you might want to add some goblins from the Goblin Battle sound set. And you could turn on the rain and thunder, we're talking about from the storm sunset, and then you can, you know, annoy your players and drench them at the same time as burning them to a crisp. So, that's Sirenscape pretty much.
Yeah, and I love it. I use it every session.
Yay!
So.
Thank you. So are lots of people, and lots of people are doing live play podcasts and things are using Sirenscape now, including Critical Role, obviously. You may have heard of Sirenscape from there. Lots and lots of live play, really great. And it adds to that the talking, which is describing the adventure, that soundtrack, which you'd expect in any movie. And in fact, it's kind of weird. It was weird for me. It was weird being at the table without music and sound.
Yeah.
The Dice Stormers, Nathan points out, also use Sirenscape. That's my live play YouTube channel, which you can definitely check out Jules, if you want to see me GMing like I've already hinted that I do, you can come and check us out there.
Just go to
Dice Stormers. We don't take the game very seriously, and we do dreadful, evil stuff like automatically confirming critical hits and fumbles, and you can make critical hits and fumbles on skill checks. So a 20 is like an epic success no matter what, and a 1, something terrible happens. We cop some flack from that because it's not rules as written. But we have fun.
But again, we've already discussed that rules is written, sometimes it takes away from the fun.
Yeah. The thing is, like, if no one's having fun, then why are you doing it?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the thing is, like, if you're all rules, then, you know, some of the, you know, really, really lousy puns and really goofball jokes that occasionally come up, or, you know, I'll quote Ware Geek with, like, wackety whack, power attack, and everyone just goes, like, facepalm.
That's right. You can usually rely on Nathan to do something like that as well, which is always fun and entertaining and wonderful and appreciated.
Awesome.
All right.
Oh, wow.
So now I, as a super subscriber to Sirenscape, which got this whole ball rolling for the interview.
That's how that happens sometimes.
It did. Now, I know that there are more than just the regular fantasy Sirenscape. What other versions do you have of this badass app?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Of course, I mentioned a fantasy situation there with medieval towns and forests and dragons and goblins and everything you can imagine. We have the license with Paizo to produce the official sounds for the world of Galarian, which is like totally amazing and cool. And we support their adventure paths. So if you're playing Rise of the Rune Lords, Yeah, you can actually have the sounds all set out and ready in the adventure. Same goes for Dragon's Demand, Hell's Rebels, and we're doing Strange Aeons now, which is totally cool. But, yes, we have a license with Mutants and Masterminds and a sci-fi player. So in the sci-fi player, you've got, yeah, the official sounds for Mutants and Masterminds, so modern locations, spaceships, space stations, superheroes punching each other with superpowers and freeze-raying people. And this year is really cool. We're actually putting quite a lot of Cthulhu sounds in the sci-fi player, which is really top. So there's already Shugugurudugurath and the Rise of Cthulhu and really horrible, awful stuff in there, which is really cool. And there's a board game player, which where we have the official sounds for the game Catan, which is pretty cool. Settlers Catan. So you can actually, instead of just playing the game with the sound of the fridge running in the background and the neighbors whinging, you just hit the island and you've got the sheepies and the lovely birdies and the tweets and things. And the best thing about that is when you hit a 7 in the board game player, instead of just going, oh, I hit a 7 and I get to take your thing, there's a what's called a one shot. So the Sirenscape runs automatically, but there's also a little soundboard down the right hand side, and you can actually touch a button and it sets off a sound controller board by you, just like a soundboard. And there's actually a button there for the 7, and the robber comes on and makes a smart aleck comment. I mean, maybe you can edit one in when you actually edit up this. There's actually 60 of them, and so you never know which one you're going to get. And they're all just as rude as all, as in, you know, he's so cheeky and nasty. And actually makes 7. For me, rolling a 7 in Catan was a bit of an anticlimax and a bit annoying, especially when there's that psychological game that your partner plays on you to try and, you know, stop you from putting the robber on her square and
right.
all that sort of stuff.
That angry look.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got board game, we've got some R&R games there, we've got Boss Monster, which is a super-duper cool card game, like a sort of an 8-bit computer game rebuild. Yeah, so lots of stuff. That was a very long answer to quite a straightforward question, wasn't it?
Sorry. Well, no, but I know that there's all these other versions that are out there, because on my phone, I've got one on my phone, I've got two laptops and a tablet. Well, there's only 3 licenses for each version that you can use on a device. So it's like I kind of spread them around.
You can unbless a device and sign into a new one. But that's right. So we figured kind of 3 is a usable number. It's obviously supposed to be, you know, not 100. And people seem pretty happy with that. It used to be 2, and then there was definitely complaints about 2. People wanted laptop, tablet, and phone. So 3 is a pretty fair number.
Yeah, actually, that makes sense. I mean, you know, it's like, all right, and that's actually a really, really good one. So you know, your laptop, your tablet, or your phone, because like you might take your tablet and your phone to a convention, you might not take your laptop.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah, and you don't have to sign out of the whole device, and the case all stays there. So if you've downloaded content, you don't need to kind of completely rebuild all the setup. It all just lights up again, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
So you can actually sign into a friend's device. You can sign into a friend's device when they bring it to the table for the game, and your setup will be there ready to use. So that's kind of really, really cool.
That is pretty awesome.
Nathan has asked if I can play the sound from the robber Catan, so I'm going to do that because that's a fun thing to do.
Oh boy.
Okay, see if I can get the volume to come through here. Where is he? There he is. I'll just play one of 60 random sounds.
You know, it's funny, now that I think about it, I could probably put my talents to better use elsewhere, but I really like taking things that don't belong to me.
Yes.
Jules, go ahead and run through, because she's got some pretty good questions here that she's got for you, so.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Hey!
You, but go for it.
No pressure. I'm prepared to be probed. To be,
All right.
That sounded terrible.
The sci-fi pack.
I have a very strange background I'm coming from. So
cool.
All right. For starters, you know, you have the sci-fi scape, which I looked at and. My husband's like, sweetie, you're drooling. And I was wondering, for a lot of those sounds, I don't know, do you use any sounds or modify, you know, waveforms from like SETI or NASA, or, you know, we've heard like the sound, gravitational sound of two black holes colliding, or pulsars, magnetars. I don't know. Do you actually are able to use that and manipulate it?
That's one of the most fascinating things is the sources of sounds. And you're right, I have used sounds like that. There is a couple of sounds in there that are sourced from that sort of material. The two things you need to do when you're building sound design, especially if you're building a lot of it like we are, is to continually find new sources. So, and those sources can be almost anything. They can be, the sound of a piece of Lego scratching across the floor, or as you said, the SETI sounds, or you know, sped up whale song, or, you know, say we're trying to make some sort of nebula sound or something weird. Yeah, any sound that's continuous and has some unique properties in what it sounds like. So I'm always searching. So one of the great sites we use for about 25% of our sounds is freesound.org, which is a sort of a amateur/pro sound sharing website where everyone in the community gets together and just shares sounds that they're able to source. For instance, I've never really been able to get a really, really clean recording of a European sort of forest, because whenever I've been over in Europe, you know, to get a clean recording, you need to go 50, you know, to 100 miles away from anywhere until you actually get silence from the roads, let alone the planes going overhead. So, you know, all of our big forest sort of sources come from that website. And the monster sounds are really interesting as well. So we had some vicious sounding beast the other day, and I had a recording of Tasmanian devils, which are these wonderfully hideous and rude and disgusting Australian marsupials. And that was a great source. So that's the number one, finding really new sources all the time to keep it fresh. And then the second one is finding ways to process them. So we're always searching for more and more different weird and tricky techniques, you know, pitch shifting, time dilation, formant shifting, reverb. I even found in just Audacity, which is a free audio editing app, there's a special effect called Paul Stretch, which has this unique sounding algorithm that does really, really interesting things to sounds and sort of pulls them out in this really, really weird way. It's kind of really, really cool. And yes, I have used the sounds because various different things appear at different times. You know, you'll get a Facebook post saying, oh, you know, the government just made all this stuff available for public, you know, public source. And they're like, yay! And it becomes another source to keep things fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, so you've actually have tapped into when you're using Sirenscape, guys, you are actually listening to the sounds of the universe for real.
That's right. Wow, it's really deep and beautiful.
So that's, guys, dude, extra bonus right there. Come on.
Yeah, that's cool. I should try. I'll try and back search and see if I can find out, where things are from. I mean, they're all credited. If you're using the sounds that created, you'll see those credits. So someone's searching for me. They're very welcome.
Yeah, well, Mickey Hart, who I absolutely adore, actually got sound waves from SETI, and he actually released an album that incorporated those, usually a lot of the rhythmic stuff. And holy moly, the thing is, like, I'd love to see what, like, if you got like half of what some of the SETI things did. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd lose my mind. I would lose.
Have you
my
seen
mind.
The video that's going around YouTube of a guy's like washing machine going burko because it's like unbalanced and it's making this fantastic rhythmic drum thing? I'd save that to my disc the other day, and I'm totally going to use it.
Yeah, because it's the motor sound and that thump, and it's that almost like perfect, precise strike rhythm. You can't get an actual drummer to do that. They speed up all the time. Sorry, bad music.
There's another one. There was another video where I saw that was on YouTube that a dude threw a brick in one, as it literally like just one brick in a front-loading machine just ripped it apart.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's right. And you slowly, the whole thing completely disintegrates.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So, that might be a cool place to pull some other crazy sounds from.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we do about 25% of sounds are sourced from outside, and about sort of 50% of the sounds we make in-house. So an arrow strike was something we did a few months ago. Which was basically me swooshing a stick past the microphone to get the whoosh sound, and me banging my fist on the desk to get the the sound of the actual arrow hitting. That and then thunk. If you know the sound, you know the sound of a ruler over the edge of a desk going bang 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 bang.
Yes, I
use that. Yeah, for the arrow.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Dude.
Yeah, so and obviously voice acting and the big new thing about a year ago as we've started taking sounds from fans. People come and volunteer. We have a recording booth at the stand at Gen Con and UK Games Expo and PAX West and UK Games. I already said that one. And so people come and give their voices. And that's a real treat and something really special. We get to make them a star and do some really fantastic transformation on their voices. And they get to appear in Sirenscape and be credited and stuff. But what we do is we get a brand new, completely fresh, unique source of a voice actor. And a couple of those voice actors I've gone back to, several times to actually get, even better stuff or to clean up what they did and one of them's become a voice actor who's working regularly for us now for money, which is super, super cool because he's skilled, he's reliable, and he has an amazing range of voices. And he's got this gorgeous, rumbling, deep sort of baritone sound, which I definitely don't have since I'm a lovely light tenor.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
All right.
Ask me a question like that. That was good.
All right. Zen, do you want me to ask another one?
Go for it.
All right. How do you deal with the issue, and I'll have to explain it a little bit, of the auditory mm-hmm. uncanny valley? And what I'm mm-hmm. talking about is like, okay, if anyone's watched the frickin' Yule log and you listen to it, and I've timed it, it's 6 seconds. And it's the exact same sound on a constant, constant, constant loop. And after mm-hmm. a time, you pick mm-hmm. it up and it kind mm-hmm. of, because if you're sitting at a campfire, it's, the crackling sounds, but they're all a little mm-hmm. different. And it's, and sometimes when you recognize it, it'll pull you out. How are you able to, absolutely. When you're creating it, deal absolutely. With that?
That's the most important thing. And in fact, that's the thing that made me make Sirenscape first. So I'll tell the story I mentioned before, which is Sirenscape actually comes from me creating those 15-minute looped recordings myself. And I had a mysterious forest, and Nathan was there, so he'll remember this. It was many years ago now. And there were certain patterns in that because I dragged in, a couple of crows and a wolf, sort of multiple times in various different patterns. Now they've been in this forest for multiple gaming sessions and, hours at a time, faffing around between battles and healing and repairing and role-playing and all this sort of stuff. And so Sirenscape all comes down to this one moment where everyone stopped, actually the players stopped the game and virtually all together just went, caw-caw, caw-caw, oh! they'd recognized this pattern and it had gone around so many times. It was becoming, obviously it was breaking immersion, which is terrible because mm-hmm. the whole point of sound is to increase immersion. And it was, ruining the game, making them realize they were playing a game and drawing the attention to the sounds. So how do you avoid that? So I'll talk about the burning log second, but first, in that forest, in Sirenscape, there are maybe 10 to 20 crow sounds, and there are 10 to 20 wolf sounds. And there's an element, individually controllable, that is randomizing the timing, the direction, and the distance of those crows. So what Sirenscape does, that one single crow element, is it randomly chooses a sample, randomly chooses a wait time, which is settable in the editor, and then randomly chooses a direction, and then randomly chooses a distance, and then applies the reverb of that forest to the sound appropriately. So if the crow is really close, it's quite just mainly crow sound, and it's quite dry, or if you can imagine a crow far away in the forest, it would mostly be echo. And then it plays that crow. And then it does that process on a continuing basis. So every single time the crow plays, it's a different crow sample out of a library. You need at least 10, but once you go past that, you're pretty much right, because it's at a different distance, and it's at a different direction. And then it's doing that for the crows, it's doing that for the wolves, it's doing that for all the elements of that forest. So the patterns are always interchanging and merging and never being the same. Now that's the one-off sounds. What about the campfire? And that's really cool. So what you do with the campfire is you get a loop that's at least 3 minutes, 5 minutes is better, of campfire sound that's just... has no remarkable events. It has no loud crackles. It's just the general background sound. So you might record a campfire for half an hour, and out of that you can pick various chunks that you can produce a five-minute loop that's just the general crackling with nothing remarkable. You play that in Sirenscape at quite a low level. You might do that twice. So you have two of those elements overlapping and interfacing with each other, and they're different lengths, so they're always moving in and out of phase. So the way they're combining is always changing. And then what you also do is take 10 to 20 loud crack events or crackles or pops or, you know, zizzes or things like that. And then you put those, you build those like you built the crow and the wolves. So they're just every now and then adding into that overall sound in ever-changing, unrecognizable patterns. And that does it. And that's what, basically the aim of Sirenscape and that fireplace is for the players to feel the same, you know, to hear the same sounds their characters to feel like they're at that fire, but to never even register the fact that, oh, there's a fireplace sound and listen to how crackly it is. It just happens subliminally and makes them immersed in the game. And obviously then they feel like they've had an incredibly immersive, intense experience, but they don't necessarily know because, you know, because Crackle 7 went off 33 seconds into the game. Does that all make sense?
Wow.
There's a lot of math in there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. And it, what's amazing is just how wrong it all sounds until it sounds right. So, you know, it's funny when you're mixing these things and the volume is not quite right. Like the crackles are a bit like, say the crackles, you can imagine that general burble in the background of the fire. And then if the crackles are too loud, they stand out, you notice, you know, suddenly the fire's got a bit louder kind of thing and it's gone crackle, crackle. And that, you know, that breaks the mood and breaks the immersion. And it's quite, yeah, that uncanny valley, getting up over that edge is quite interesting because when I'm mixing my own sounds, I'm like, oh, it sounds terrible. And then suddenly, you know, it finally resolves and it's all sounding right. And then it, of course, disappears and is never noticed by anyone, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Great question.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Justin, you want to throw some in here?
Sure. Okay. So has Sirenscape been used for anything else? Like have any game companies or developers tried asking, hey, can we use this awesome product?
So digital games, computer games?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're actually in that. That's kind of the next thing that's emerging. Sirenscape has gained a reputation for good, you know, sound design and sound work. And so there's two different companies right now we're actually talking about who are producing app products to do various different things to do with tabletop gaming or board games. Three. And there's discussions going on with them. So one company's basically come to me and said, you know, you do sound so beautifully well. You know, we don't have a sound department, so we have a decision to make. Are we going to build a sound department of five people? We're not 100% sure about their skills. We'd have to go recruiting. We, you know, probably when you obviously create a new department, some of the people really match well and it goes really well, and then you have to, you know, dismiss people. Is Sirenscape interested in producing audio for us? And that's really, really cool. So, yeah, we you know, people who use us in art galleries or to write to or to tell stories to their kids at story time in class or to fill the class, they turn the lights off and light the candles and turn on Sirenscape when their kids are trying to do creative writing or I just, when I'm sitting doing my, like the boring parts of my job, like doing the numbers and things like that, I usually do them from the deck of my starship because I am so very cool. You know, with an R3 unit going in the background. So, yeah, lots and lots of applications and, yeah, interesting stuff for the future right now. As I pretty much, I just came from Vegas where the Gamma trade show is, which is our big industry trade show. And, yeah, three different companies all getting a lot further along the discussion of us really doing some great sound work for them, which will be fun.
That's awesome.
Although I actually was playing around with Sirenscape earlier, and while I was kind of toking around with a little bit of my creative writing stuff, I was playing in the background. With the LED candles I turned on, by the way.
Oh, you did turn them on. Yay! That's really fun. Yeah, it's good.
And the thing is, I am waiting. I am waiting to deep dive into this because I'm waiting until I was planning on actually playing around with it this Sunday because my husband has a game. I'm like, those games are about 10 hours. Good. And he's like, now game's canceled. So I'm like, okay, stuff happens. People get sick. You know, Mercy's coming up, you know. But, so what day
can
we game? Like,
I can do Monday. I can do Wednesday. I can do Tuesday. I can do Friday. There are no common days.
Yeah, so I am looking for, not only that, but what I'm actually looking forward to is, because of all this wonderful ambient sound, is, all right, like if I am in, you're going to laugh, okay, if I have to go up to Johns Hopkins again, I want to actually have some music or, you know, sounds that, you know, just make me happy, you know,
right.
Like the sound of the warp core on Star Trek, you know, just having that on a loop. Yeah. So I'm looking that's forward right. to just going that. It's just like, all right, you know, hey, it's not just for game.
That's right.
It's not
absolutely.
Just for game.
There's a gym called Nerdstrong who use Sirenscape, and they do dynamic storytelling things where you have to do like 10 push-ups to, you know, to get the dice roll to defend the castle against the orcs. And they're running Sirenscape at epic volumes while people sweat, while nerds sweat. It's so cool. And they sent me a video. It's on our Facebook page.
That's so cool.
It is just the coolest thing ever. Yeah, Nerdstrong Gym, they're called, .com. You can find out about them.
That is cool.
But yeah, just,
wow.
Just incredible. So yeah, there are lots of uses. I mean, anywhere where you'd have sound, I suppose. I just think there's a different thing that us geeks do. Like, you know, as you said, like some people just put on a song that they like or whatever. I think us geeks like to kind of immerse ourselves in a story, you know, make our life a story and you know, enhance that kind of just normal living moment, which is really cool.
Well, and that is one of the fun things, because you can have your own traveling theme song.
Mm.
It's on your phone, and you can just play your theme song as you're doing things.
Ooh, yeah.
Totally right. No, I have a theme song already, dude.
Well,
it's I suck at Call of Duty. That's my theme song.
You could put that. You grab the Sirenscape creator, import yourself sort of wailing that, pitch shift it down so you sound like an epic dragon or something, and have it on your phone ready to touch whenever you need it.
See?
You'll be able to end it through.
Yeah, I actually just downloaded the editor so that I can play with it, because I'm going to have a big break between when I run my next Pathfinder thing. So I'm like, I'll just put stuff together now.
Yeah.
We'll see. I know for
the editor gives you every parameter that we use in house to build the sound set. So all those timing things, all the positioning, all the reverb, all those sorts of stuff. Bringing in your own sounds, everything you want is in there available to Super Sirens. You're the best kind of people in the world.
It's awesome. I literally had to sit my group down, because I had bought several of the just individual ones over time, and I'm like, I'd play them, and they'd be like, this is really cool. I'm like, yeah, you know what would be really cool? If you guys showed up every week for like 2 months. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, if you do that, I'll buy the whole entire subscription. So I'll have all the sounds. And they're like,
yeah, that's cool.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so like for like the next 3 months, they made it every single.
That's amazing. That's such a cool motivator.
Yeah.
You can buy stuff one by one, as you know, in Sirenscape, just off the store. So if you just want the forest, or you want, you know, the starship engine room, so you can have your warp core going, you can buy that. But yeah, as you said, you can also subscribe. And what I really like about the sub, which is something Paizo were really, really keen on, is that you don't just unlock everything and then when your sub ends, you lose it all. Actually, everything we release while you're a subscriber, you actually gain permanent ownership of. So it's really just a sort of a mega discounted way of getting everything we make, you know, during your sub, which it's really cool. We like to reward people for their support, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I play with it constantly. Like, my wife will just be like, "Will you stop playing with that?"
No,
like, no, it's fun. So yeah,
I want to
scream in hand at all times.
Because I want to do that, but I know because of my background and training, I will never come out.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'll keep diving and diving, and it's just like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I take a breathe, look up, my husband's dead. You know, the electric bill's exorbitant. Everything in the fridge is rotten.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's see. What other fun things? Oh, so you mentioned you went to Gamma. What other shows are you going to this year?
Yeah. So if you're at any of these shows, come and shake our hand, come and say hi, come and whinge about something that's not in Sirenscape that you really like there. Though a lot of the time it is already and people just don't know about it, but that's cool. Like, for instance, there's this massive long list down the left-hand side of Sirenscape with all the sound sets in the Fantasy Player that's like more than 200 or something now. But and people are like, I wish I could organize that list. And we're like, you can make playlists and orders and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, what was the question? Yes, what cons? So come to the con, and also when you come to the con, record some sounds. Bring your favorite NPC, your favorite monster roar, all that sort of stuff would be really cool. And we're at Gen Con, which is the 50th year of Gen Con, which is super exciting. UK Games Expo, if you're over there. Essen in Germany. We're at PAX West next to Paizo there, which they still haven't set the date for PAX West, which is super weird. Yeah. And PaizoCon. And I think that's all.
Aww.
I'm going to see you. I'm going to see you.
See, you need to go to Origins. What were you doing?
I'm going to Gen Con. It'll be my first time at Gen Con.
Gen Con is amazing. It's so cool. And lovely. Yeah.
I have a horrible temptation now to bring my clarinet.
Play in the corridors. Cosplay clarinet.
I was a jazz musician for a while there too, so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You can come and give me some a clarinet sounds or something. Can you make some roaring sounds? That'd be really interesting.
Actually, I can do the bench. You know the opening bit of George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue?
Absolutely.
I can do that.
The most famous. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That takes some skill. It takes some fingers.
Oh, not really. It takes the right mouthpiece.
That's the
trick. Yep. Because it's not as much the fingers. The fingers are a little bit, but it's actually done mostly with the lips and the throat. It's a weird thing. But no, it's like, oh, this is going to be fun. Because, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Gen Con is amazing. Gen Con is really, really, really cool. Gen Con's amazing. It's growing as well. Like, so literally five years ago when I first went to now, the demographic has changed at Gen Con. You know, there's a lot of families there now. There's a lot of women there now. There's a lot of, it's always been a really wonderful, inclusive community. So there's, you know, lots of gay people and trans people and everything. And it's just the most incredibly warm, safe environment that's become better and better and better even over just the last 5 years. It's totally cool.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, last year was Origins. It was my first convention ever. So Gen Con, and they're like, you gotta go, and some of my friends, you gotta go. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm glad I said yes. This is going to be the best day ever.
Is there much top stuff at Origins? Because we've continued to think
tabletop.
About
it. Yeah, it's almost all tabletop, baby.
But board games as well, or just role playing?
They've got library. Cool.
Yeah,
that is cool. Origins, I like that one.
The way I always describe Origins, whereas Gen Con is more about the players, Origins, now that Origins is kind of pushed away, because there used to be only like a 3 week gap between when Origins and Gen Con happened.
Yeah.
So now they're starting to push that gap further and further apart. Before, Origins was kind of like Gamma, but with some players. It was more of like the deal show. Okay. That's where you went to go make deals.
That's right. Okay.
Now it's becoming much more of a regular gaming convention as time has gone on.
Yeah.
So
I do PaizoCon, which is right at the beginning of June, and then I fly to the UK for UK Games Expo, and then, it would be a matter of coming back for Origins.
Yeah.
But we've been thinking about it for ages. Oh, and Nathan points out in the chat that we also do PAX Oz, of course, in Melbourne at the end of the year. So, that's a show we really love as well, where I can connect with all the fellow Australians. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like... Yeah, I'm not going to make Gen Con this year. Sad face. Not really. I haven't been in like five. I used to go when it was in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh, yep.
And then when it moved to Indianapolis, because I used to work in the industry doing stuff. Yeah. And then, like, I got out of it, like, 5 years ago. And so I haven't been to Gen Con since then.
Oh, you'll go next year. You'll go this year if we can goad you enough.
No. There's other things that are keeping me from going to that one right now. But yeah, I will. It's so close to the end of the year, the summer.
Yeah.
Right now. So.
Well, day one is 2 days after my birthday, so I'm like, my birthday present. We're going. Origins is the hubby, so you know.
Well, not just that. Well, for some of us anyway. See, I got it, Ben. I know how you can go to Origins now. Uh-huh. It's Father's Day weekend. It's a Father's Day present.
Yeah.
But that would be like me saying, for my Father's Day present, I'm going to be away for 4 weeks instead of 2.5.
Of course.
My family would cry. Yeah, it's probably the next one on our list down. You know, there are a lot of obviously little shows and things. And we're actually looking at ways of getting like maybe some volunteer teams or whatever to do some of these shows and to connect with people and collect samples and things. And sure. But Origins is one of the big shows. So PAX Oz, we've added this. Not PAX Oz, PAX West, we've added this year for the first time. So I'm super excited to be there.
That's cool.
That's going to be sweet.
Very cool. If they ever set a date, which is like super weird.
After con season, we'll have to get you back on. You could talk about what it's like to get all these different sounds and, you know. I'm wondering. Just had a thought, because... This is it actually kind of ties into the concept of Sirenscape. The Japanese Vocaloid, Hatsune Miku, you know, where they took the recordings of a bajillion and one people's voices, and then they condensed it into a singular, like, singing voice. You know, I'm wondering if, you know, say you had, you know, people from all the different conventions and all want to say one word.
The Borg. The Borg. We could do the Borg by collecting everyone, putting everyone together.
Yeah.
Like a Borg monster. We wouldn't call it a Borg. We'd call it like the Boo-Wag or something.
Yeah, right.
The collective.
That's such a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because then everyone could be in it. Because sometimes, you know, like, it's hard to...
But the thing is, like, it's the community that makes it great. 300 people can't get their sound
to include everyone, yeah.
You know, like everyone that comes in, you do your own thing. And then everyone says is like, surrender your will to us or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And we set the lines and everyone just does it however they want and we layer and layer like nothing else. That is a genuinely good idea and I think that's what we're going to do this year.
Ooh.
Wow. Super cool. I'm going to have to credit you. That's so cool.
Yeah, who knew that the 16 years of classical training actually might give me a decent idea from time to time?
Creativity was something that you do, huh? Is there a Cthulhu monster that's like lots of voices all together in...
The Yellow King, I think, might be a good one.
Haster, yeah.
Yeah, that could... Okay, let's look at that. Oh, that's so cool.
Awesome.
Okay. It's like the best idea I've had said to me in ages. And I get a lot of good ideas. People are amazing. The fans are good. Basically, all the good features that are in Sirenscape that weren't there when we first launched are all because of people giving their ideas. Hash whinging, which is absolutely fine and totally cool with me.
All right.
It's a lovely, I've listened to it, I've played around with it, I've had fun with it, and it's just like, I love it because the content is growing exponentially. You know, it's like, I'm wanting to see maybe in a couple years, like Noir or Wild West.
That's right.
You know, like, so with the Noir thing, like you'd hear, and then all of a sudden, like, you'd hear maybe a few piano tinkle keys or the sound of a glass dropping.
If you did Noir, I would write all of my future books to that. Like, I absolutely, because I look for Noir music and sounds to listen to while I'm writing, so...
You'll
flex, you know, maybe a jazz saxophone, like a few, like you hear him tuning up backstage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would love, is that kind of stuff in your hopper for like the future?
Yeah, absolutely. So we already have if you use the creator to make some content, you're basically uploading it to the server and it just becomes your content to use. So you can actually rip the computer game music off Neverwinter Nights 2 and that, and then, you know, sort of add that into the Bugbear Battle so that there's not only our music, or you can replace our music completely, and you can do the Bugbear Battle with all those howls and shrieks and wet and clashes and everything with Neverwinter Nights 2. Now, you can't share that with the community, but people are making content themselves even to share with the whole community. And that's, you know, if someone out there wants to do a noir set already, and they can do it in a way so that it is, you know, all, it's all Creative Commons attribution, or it's all stuff they created themselves combined with lots of our own sounds, then we could be sharing that straight away. But absolutely, yeah, modern is something we're getting more and more into. And it's interesting, noir is like a, it's like a musical style combined with real 20th century locations. So we have the real 20th century locations, a number of them. We have streets and offices and all sorts of things like that. And then it'll be a matter of, you know, doing some noir music.
The occasional sound of like a cigarette being puffed, like that long drag and the slow exhale. Yeah. Oh man, it's and I have
and see the saxophonist could actually improvise, because Sirenscape can do this thing with music. I'll explain properly. In the drums for the Strange Eons battles, which are these kind of freaky drums, there's this drummer going. And it's not, and it's actually continuous. It never stops, because it's not just someone sitting down and doing some drumming. It's actually 25 separate samples of different little fragments of drum ideas, which then Sirenscape does its thing with it. It orders them in a random order and positions them in time. And it actually just sounds like a drummer going. So you could do the same with the saxophonist. You could just have all these different licks, which then Sirenscape would just sort of, you know, have the saxophonist lazily in the echoey alley, just sort of improvising in the background. And that would be really cool.
No, because I'd actually would pull just the drums out. I would actually pull that sound, see what kind of things you can noodle along to that. Because
that's right.
Ooh, I just might have some fun with that over next weekend.
and they're not drums with my mouth either, by the way. They're really nice drums. I did all the stuff with my mouth before Sirenscape, but yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Didn't everybody, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So.
Yeah.
Well, we've had you for almost an hour, Ben. So.
Yeah.
It's been crazy. It's been fun. But we have two last questions for you. All right? These are going to be, they're very important for all GMs out there to know.
Excellent.
And that is, what class are you?
And that's very easy. My signature for every single email that I type actually says this specifically. I'm a paladin multi-class bard. So I'm kind of, you know, holy warrior, ideals, but with all the silliness and musicality of a bard combined.
Perfect. I called it. Remember, yep. I told you I called it.
Oh, yeah.
You did.
Uh-huh. And the second one
is... Do you need my race as well?
No.
No, just class. Oh,
well, I'm a half-elf. I'm a half-elf bard paladin, but that's fine. Good.
Awesome. And then how much XP do you feel you're worth?
I think we're set on level 11 at the moment. So
okay, so you're, you know, CR 11 encounter.
Yeah. Are you gonna kill me in a game? That would be really cool.
No, but we just, you know, the signature question. So
no, cool. But I hate to say this, Ben. You were kind of after Zendad told me that, like, we're going to be interviewing you. You were the inspiration for a stat block I started writing called The Bard's Immortality.
That's cool.
I was turning you into a stat block.
That's cool. I want to see it. Share it with me. That's great. Finish it off and share it with me. Have you seen the avatar that's on the, which you can see actually on the Mixlr page and on my Facebook at the moment? And that's Kit Buss, who's the artist who does a lot of the art for Critical Role and who did the art for our Matt Mercer NPC sound sets. You can actually play with Matt Mercer's three of his NPCs in your game. Victor, the black powder salesman, will you can chat with him, and he says no and yes and I don't understand, and just like you do in a computer game. She did the art for those, and so she did a portrait of me recently, and I really, really love it. So that's my avatar for a long time.
I like that. That is delicious.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's also cool because I'm like telling everyone how it is. It looks slightly patronizing, which I really, really like.
No, you're doing it wrong. I will show you how to do it.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think it's lovely. It's like, you know, but my picture on the Skype is also like one of my avatar pics, so you can look at that, go, that's weird.
Yeah. Your pic on Skype is very nice. That's very cool. Is that you?
That is me as Rainbow Smite, who is a character in Shadowrun.
That's cool.
That's great. Yeah. Mm. But yeah,
but you were trying to wrap it up before, and we've just gone longer.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We can keep going.
We've been known to do this for 4.5 hours before, so.
Yeah.
But we won't keep you that long.
You can smack me in the back of the head for that one, Sen. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, if we start getting to 4.5 hours, we just need to start getting Dyson's character sheets.
I know.
I already have a Little Fears campaign already set up in my head and already statted and ready anytime anyone wants to play. I'll be happy to do it.
Yeah.
Most excellent.
All right.
I want to hear that I've died, and I want to see the stats that were used to kill me as well.
Okay. We'll figure those out. So, all right, well, it has been a blast, and we will go ahead and call this wrapped, and we will see everybody, minus Ben, sadly, next week.
Hopefully, after convention season, hey, if you're up for it, we would love to have you back and talk about your convention sound gathering experience. Yeah. I think we'd all love to do that one.
Yeah.
And how building the Boag went, because that'll be totally awesome.
Exactly.
Love it.
Awesome.
Right. Thank you, everyone. It was super fun. I'd be glad to come back. It was really genuinely awesome.
All right. Well,
thanks for visiting us, man.
Bye.
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are at Zendead,
at Jules Podcaster,
and at No Operations.
And the show's Twitter account is at SeizeTheGM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SeizeTheGM.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@SeizeTheGM.com.
You can email me at Zendead@SeizeTheGM.com.
Me at Jules@SeizeTheGM.com.
And me at NullOperations@SeizeTheGM.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.SeizeTheGM.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine, by the Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.